CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. We are live on a Monday. It is the end of May already. Today's the last day of the month of May, and then it is into June, and then we're halfway through the year. So you blink and you've missed it. 2021. Yeah. Glittering ahead. Oh my God, isn't it wild?
Huh? It's like, it's nearly my birthday, which is in June.
It's nearly your birthday.
It's ridiculous. Exactly.
No. No, it is. So Leanne was saying that she has a plug for her headphones on that side, and she goes, oh, I think there's a problem with the plug here. So I go, don't electrocute yourself. And she does this whole, like, pretending she's electric.
It did sound very dodgy. You know when you can hear that it's going to hurt you?
Yeah. Not good. Not good at all.
No. Oh, how was your holiday?
Oh, yeah. All good. All good on this side. Everything's good. I had a very nice time. I was in the Kruger National Park, and you know, I haven't been in there for years. I mentioned that last time we spoke about it, and it was as I remember it. You know, every camp.
Not much has changed.
No, I mean, I'm kind of pleased about that, because people who go regularly have been telling me that they think that the park is really not the way that it used to be. You know, it's been managed badly, and the people who are in charge of it now just don't seem to be doing as good a job as they might have done in years before. I don't know. I can't comment on that because it's not something I'm familiar with. But to me, it looked and it felt like it was a good place to be. We went to two of the camps. We stayed in Pretorius Kop, which is beautiful. But it's quite wooded there, so it's hard to see any animals. Because there's so much vegetation, even in May, and all the animals are, you know, kind of hiding most of the time. So we didn't see a lot of game.
You couldn't see the animals for the trees.
Exactly. but we did manage to get a couple of interesting sightings. I saw, just walking around the camp, the one night there was a civet. Have you ever seen one of those?
Oh, yes.
Amazing.
I haven't seen one in the wild.
Yeah, they're incredible. You know, it's kind of like best way to describe it is it's about Labrador sized, but it's flat, it has shorter legs, and it looks like, you know, kind of a house cat, but it's very much like a Brontosaurus. It's very thin at one end, much, much thicker in the middle, and then very, very thin at the other end again. But they're nocturnal animals, so it's very rare to see one. And we heard the monkeys going crazy. My brother, who's way more well-versed in this stuff than I am, he said there's some kind of a predator around. The monkeys wouldn't normally be making this noise. And lo and behold, we see a civet just walking down the length of the camp fence, which was amazing. And we saw some porcupines on that little night walk around the camp with the kids, which was really fun because the kids, you know how excited they get.
Mm-hmm.
It's their favorite thing in the world. So that was pretty cool. And all in all, it was really, really exciting. I mean, it was just a fun weekend for the family. And we went away with family friends of ours who we've known for years. So it just felt like a really nice little outing. And that place does recharge you. You know, you kind of, in an Instagram post, it reminds you of your place in the, sorry. There we go. The ancestors. It reminds you of a place in the ecology. You know, you sort of you become very aware of the fact that even though humans are at the top of the food chain now, we weren't always. My parents saw some lions. So there's something wrong with the app. I think C is coming on now to explain to us what's going on over there. But he's having some trouble connecting, and then. You know, he is in. There he is. Okay. He's here. See ya. Good morning. What's happening?
In one piece, I think.
Yeah. Is the app working? Because people are saying, oh, the app's not working.
There was music playing. There was music playing over the app.
Right.
Okay. Well,
they fixed 17 buttons down. I think we're on now.
Are you running things in the studio this morning?
Depending on my answer, how confident does that make you?
Well, you know what you're doing. Are you kidding? I'm not worried about that. Are you there in Notsimpiwe this morning?
Yeah. So, Gareth, you leave us for one day, and this place basically falls apart. So I don't know how that will make you feel when you take extra time off. But we had, gosh, I'm trying to actually count, two members of our team catch COVID over the past couple of days.
Oh.
And then we have two more people who haven't had a test yet, but are just erring on the side of caution. So they're quarantining for the next little while.
Name and shame. No, you have to tell people.
Gareth, this is not a witch hunt.
No. Yeah, why? What's the shame part of it?
We must burn them.
It's not as if they were walking around here leaving drool all over the place.
We must name them so that the community can hunt them down with pitchforks and we can chase them out of the village. That's what we need to do.
It's not like plague.
No, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, okay.
So apparently the music is still on the app, just to let you know if you check the comments.
I'm going to.
Let's see us sort that out quickly while we get on.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so as I was saying, we were in the Kruger Park. My parents saw some lions, but we all, you know, there were like four cars of us there because we...
So many of you.
Yeah, so it was basically... The old people were in one car, my parents and their friend. Then their kids were in one other car with their kids. So the grandchildren and the children in the one. And then the grandchildren and the children on our side in another. And then me, my sister, her boyfriend, and my other friend, the four of us were in another car. Mm. So there were a whole bunch of us. And we all left independently and arrived there in our own time and all the rest of it. And it was really cool because once we were in the park, we got on those game drive vehicles. The one night we went out on a night drive, which was really cool. I mean, it's just such a special place. You know, the air smells different in the park.
Oh, and, the sound.
You really feel like, you know, I almost wish that people weren't a part of the picture. And I know this is Gareth, this is me at my most misanthropic, where I just hate people the most. But I think about how the world is just this unspoiled paradise without us. And I know that that's not the truth because we're part of the ecology. And if you accept that you are part of that, then you have a responsibility to play your part in it. And because we're at the top of the pyramid in terms of all the creatures that are living on Earth at the moment, we have more responsibility than anyone else to look after things and to keep things in balance. And unfortunately, I mean, right outside the park, virtually outside the one gate, which we drove out of yesterday, it's just, you know, it's people, but not people living in great circumstances. Poor people who are living in, you know, really just terrible, poverty-stricken. You could just see there's no opportunities. I just feel desperately sorry for those people, too, because as much as you feel bad for the animals that are, you know, that are restricted to this one area which we've preserved for them, you kind of feel, well, the humans just outside of that area are almost in a worse condition than the animals inside the area. So it's kind of jarring, and I wonder how foreign tourists feel when they see all of that, because, you know, one part of them is like, oh, we came here and we shared this amazing experience with the animals and with, you know, the people who we were with, and then we drive out and we see what South Africa is, and we see this, you know, the way poor people in South Africa live in these rural areas. And it's very, very different, and it's not necessarily the kind of thing that will leave you with a good feeling. I don't know. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Ruth wants to know, how do you feel about sharing digs with the little ones? So that basically we were in this guest house, which is, you know, slightly better accommodation than the rondavels that you usually stay in. And I remember when we were kids, we used to stay in those rondavels where you have, you know, your veranda with a fridge on it and that kind of thing. And they still have all of those. I went to visit the first hut in Skukuza that they built years ago, like in the late 1800s, I think it was. And it's still there. It's like a museum hut. And they've got one of those things that they would have used for mosquitoes. But it's like a pump action thing with a pot at the bottom of it and a nozzle, and you would go the mosquitoes. But it's an amazing place. And then Sia, you'll like this. In the camp that we were in, there were two huts that were built especially for the royal visit in 1947 or 1949 or something. When the Queen stayed there as a princess with her dad and her mom. And they specially mosquito-proofed and built those cottages for them when they came to South Africa. That was pretty cool.
Did they know that they were made out of shit?
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, listen, I think that that's part of the charm of the place is that it's not five-star accommodation. You know, there are plenty of beautiful five-star game reserves, private game reserves where you can go and you can pay a fortune to stay in absolute luxury. But the nice thing about the Kruger Park is it's meant to be a bit of a leveler. And I know it's become tremendously expensive for a lot of people. And it's out of reach for many South Africans. But I saw loads of people driving around, having a really good time, looking for animals, the kids, people going into the camps and you know, enjoying themselves. And it feels to me like that's part of what makes South Africa great. So I'm happy to have done it. And it was a really fun weekend. I'm feeling recharged. I'm feeling ready to take on this week. And besides how cold it is, I thought it would be cold there. But I mean, I was standing around the fire on Saturday night in shorts. And look, I had a quite warm jacket on. But I was standing around the fire in shorts. And I thought, this isn't as bad as I assumed it would be. You know, you don't have heaters. And stuff
this is the time of year that we usually go to Hazy View, which is just on the border of the park. And I always remember that I need to pack summer clothes because it's not like we're in Joburg at the moment.
No, it's not as cold.
It definitely gets really warm during the day.
Yeah. Look, it's such a nice part of the country. No matter where you go there, if you do go to a private game reserve, if you go to the Kruger National Park, or if you just go to you know, places like Blyder River Canyon or Hazy View, as you said, Leanne, Dullstroom, anywhere in Mpumalanga, it's really pretty at this time of year. And despite it being winter, it's still got its own beauty. You know, it's not all green and lush, but it's very, very attractive. And there's also something about the sounds and the silence, frankly. You know, at night, you don't have any of those noises of cars, of people, of that buzzing of electricity.
And when really it's dark there as well, it is dark.
Yeah. The stars, when you switch off all the lights, it's magnificent. You literally see just, you know, that old idea of the fact that there's this sheet and it's got, you know, pinpricks in it. So you see just the light coming through it. It's absolutely amazing. You see the whole Milky Way. It's really incredible.
Oh, this is starting to sound like a Coldplay song. These are like Coldplay lyrics.
Yeah. All right. So that was my weekend, and feeling good about that. I heard that Cyril gave a speech to us last night, and I wasn't that interested because, you know, you don't have to watch him doing his dreary crap. You can actually just get the gist of it from someone the next day, and that's precisely what happened.
Or just immediately on Twitter or whatever.
Correct. By 8 o'clock, someone has WhatsApped you all the info. And so apparently, we're back at level 2 or something like that? And now curfew hours have been brought back to 10 o'clock. Nothing else has really changed. That's about it, right? Have I missed anything?
No, that's about it. It's adjusted level 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. We're still okay on the booze and cigarette front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, I'm still happy with the curfew thing. It was renewed for me on Friday night. I was sitting in the lounge and I ended up getting totally hooked and binge watching this long 4-season French series. And I had the TV on really softly because of the subtitles. You don't really need to have it on loud. Mm-hmm. I just heard right outside the window this screeching of tires and two cars hitting each other. That sound of that metal when it's so quiet is just horrific. Oof,
that crunch, yeah.
Yeah, and then one of the cars rolled. I mean, this is in a a zone where you're usually driving at about 40, 50 k's an hour, if that, maybe 20. And, you know, with the, it was obviously drunk driving because it was after midnight. And you heard these students get out the car and they were screaming. This girl was screaming, this blood-curdling scream. Help, help. So I kind of, I went to look through the one part of my wall which has a gate in it. And I considered going to run there to help them. But there were already some other residents who'd come out and they were asking, how's everyone? You know, we're busy phoning people.
But would you have even known what to do if you went out to help?
Well, that's the thing that we were talking about, Sia. I think it was you and I on Friday, or I'm not sure. But what do you dial? You know?
Yes, we were actually talking about it on Friday. What are the odds?
Yeah. Luckily I didn't have to get involved. But it made me, I had to get up for an appointment early the next morning, and it made me nervous to get into my car. It was that horrific. Mm-hmm. And I just, I don't know. I'm a bit of an old gran when it comes to that, but I really prefer people not killing themselves on the roads. Thank you.
Yeah, I hear you, but curfew is not going to change that, because supposedly we had a curfew anyway. It didn't change anything, and people would just stay out a little bit later. I told you that I drove back from something at 1 in the morning a couple of weekends ago. There was nothing. There were no cops. There was nothing. So it's all just completely made up. I mean, we know our police can't enforce the rules as they are, so I'm not particularly concerned that a curfew is going to make any difference to any of us. So we're going to do a quick one thing for the week, because I missed out on doing this early last week, and I'm damned if I'm going to miss it this week. So I'm going to throw it in today, being Monday. We'll end the month on a big thing. So today I want you to throw away something that you actually like, but that you don't use, that you don't need anymore. Because we all gather crap, right? And this is in direct contrast to our collectomania, which is later on. So I don't want you to throw away anything that you collect or that you care about that much, that is a part of what defines your purpose in life. I just want you to throw away something that you don't need. You know, it might be, there could be something that you've kept for sentimental reasons, but you've forgotten even what the reasons are. And maybe today's the day that you get rid of that thing, because we all gather a lot of crap. And it's so infuriating, because what it does is it's another thing to clean. It's another thing to find a space for in your house. It's another thing that you perhaps, it doesn't even have a function anymore. Maybe it's never been useful. And
like an old broken kettle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we all have things in the cupboard that we thought, I'll get around to fixing that, or, you know, that's important to me, but don't really use it anymore. So you've put it away. You know, like a broken cufflink. I mean, I've had like this box with two broken cufflinks in it, and I'm like, when am I ever going to get those fixed? And they're not particularly valuable or expensive or interesting. They're not even my favorites in any way. So it's time to get stuff like that and just throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
Thing to do.
Yeah, I actually already know what I'll throw out.
Do you already know?
I have a pile of receipts that I've kept for sentimental reasons. But receipts now... They're so worn out, you can't even read what it is. I have to squint and try to guess what it is. But it's things like the pack of chips. It sounds actually ridiculous the more I explain it. Never mind. But it's the pack of chips. I know I definitely have this, the receipt from the pack of chips I bought with my very first bank account, the fact that I swiped for it myself. Receipt I have from the first movie I went to watch, you know, things like that. But what am I ever going to do with it again?
I thought you were going to say things from like the 2015 tax year that you don't need anymore, because you know, you don't have SARS doesn't, they won't ask you for anything for longer than 5 years ago. So
not even like that. It's even more ridiculous.
Any tax information going back, well, now it would be, what, prior to 2016-17, you can throw away. Yeah. So throw away any of those. There's something you can get rid of. I know I can get rid of that. That's like five big folders like this of papers that I can throw out now. So that's something to do. I'm surprised you kept those for sentimental reasons. What a thing to do.
I don't know
you're actually very sentimental.
I've heard of keeping a concert ticket or a movie theater ticket. No. But I haven't heard
it's worse than that thing.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I'm a hoarder. I do own that. I fully know I'm a hoarder.
You're very screwed up.
You're not okay.
Thanks, guys, for this character building and character reaffirming moment in my day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tracy says, ooh, I can imagine a few people who feel that way about their husbands, something you don't use anymore that you want to throw off.
Wow.
the marriage certificate that you wish had an expiry date.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. 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 So anyway, we're going to get to Dr. Hanan Bushkin later on, who I know you like to talk to and I like to talk to, because we're naming the feature. It's called It's Going to Be Okay, which I think is just a great name for the way that many people, when they're in the doldrums, when you're really not handling life well, and you know, who among us handles life well all the time? Nobody. So if you're having a tough time, just remember that it's going to be okay. And we'll talk to him on a Monday, because for many people, Monday is the worst. If you can get through Monday, the rest of the week's a breeze. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Hanan will join us a little bit later on. And if you have a question for us, you can send it. Today we'll address something that Nikki sent to us. And it's a really good discussion topic. And I think that may affect many more of us than just you and me. So we'll get to that in a short while. Lots of things to also talk about in terms of the one thing for a day and the one thing for the week, rather, and the collectomania that we're doing, which is the opposite of throwing something away, a little bit later on. Collectomania is where we get to immerse ourselves in other people's weird collections, in other people's obsessions, in other people's reason for living. And for many of us, these things that we collect give us huge purpose and meaning. And again, you know, having seen all these people in the Kruger Park who collect these lists of animals that they see, you know, they don't get to keep the animals, but they keep the memories and they list them. And I was talking to my brother about his life list of birds. Mm-hmm. And he was looking for something. Leanne, this name is just the funniest name. He was looking for something in the Kruger Park called a croaking cisticula.
Wow. Yeah, you need to see someone about that if you've got that.
That's exactly what I said to him. I said, is that what happens when, you know, mom and dad have too many cigarettes? They become croaking.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He's got that list as well. So I think it's definitely something that runs in our genes. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully you won't have anyone on Collectomania who collects really horrible things like toenail clippings.
Ooh.
Well, and listen, there are people who do that. I mean, there's that one guy who like collects skin that is peeled off. And I mean, there's some very weird people in this world. Oh, no, trust me. Not all of it is very healthy. So before you get into collecting, just make sure it's something that's actually socially acceptable for you to collect. Some people in Japan go and get used underwear from dispensing machines.
Yeah. There are certain things, it might not necessarily be a full collection, but even just things that people might be keeping for sentimental reasons that bother me still. Mm-hmm. Even people who keep
like a receipt from the first packet of chips they bought with their own bank.
That doesn't bother me much. But like someone who keeps the first lock of hair from their baby's haircut, I've never understood that.
That was a very Victorian thing, dude. They keep it in a locket.
I know some of my friends who have that, and they show it off very proudly. I don't want any part of that. And then some people, if you keep things from a child's birth as well.
Say that again.
Yeah, and if you keep anything from a child's birth, no.
Yeah, I know.
Just, ugh.
It's not necessary. No. All right, let's look at some headlines quickly from the weekend and from today. There is, sorry, there's another one. Not finished yet. There we go. All right, so Rand Water.
Gareth, before you start, I will let you know when we started the five things that you needed to know on Friday, I broke out into a bit of a sneeze. So I actually think it's not you. Something about the segment, something about the show.
I blame the news.
Let's go with that.
Rand Water says there's been another power failure at the Akenhof pump station. As a result, pumping capacity is stopped. Water levels at the Merredale reservoirs have been depleted. Several municipalities, including the city of Johannesburg, Rand West, Merafong, and Mogale City, will be affected. Rand Water says it is not sure when this fault will be repaired.
I have no more flashing water available.
God,
so I'm off this morning to get barrels of water for pooing.
God.
So,
it's horrible. What a shit thing, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And yesterday I had to shower at my brother's place.
No. So,
and it's just, it's relentless, you know, and it's not like with load shedding where there is an end.
Yeah.
This has been weeks now of either low pressure or nothing.
Horrible. There's no way to live. And then Cyril has the cheek to impose more rules on us last night. Like, how about you get the stuff that you already have to do right? You know, this is what drives me mad. It's like these politicians are busy imposing new laws on us when they can't even enforce the old ones. They can't even make sure that there's water. Why should we listen to someone like that?
Why? So that's why I was, I think, inspired isn't necessarily the word, but I think it was such a good thing to have noted social media yesterday. Because, by the way, I was actually on the phone with someone leading up to 7 when the president was going to speak. Then I thought, 7 o'clock, no, I need to go and watch the president. I couldn't even make it off my bed. I didn't bother that much. But rather was watching things on social media. And a lot of people were talking about, we don't even like the term family meeting, because family doesn't treat each other the way this government has. And they go actually to the president, we don't care what the regulation is, what stage we're in. How about you talk about the corruption? And how about you talk about whether Dr. Mkhize will stay on or not, or what you're going to do about Dr. Mkhize and the digital vibes?
You,
and I thought,
have you felt that there is a change in the attitude of people? Because remember, this time last year, we were really in the doldrums of it. Remember, we'd been told that it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And I mean, I have to remind people of this because our memories are short. And then after that, it just became this unending kind of, well, we'll go back when the president says we'll go back. But there was still quite a lot of support. I mean, I remember people saying, not me, I've never supported any of this, but there were people who were saying, oh no, you know, the president's trying his best. And Zweli Mkhize is doing a great job, and let's all put on our masks and let's do what we can to save each other's lives. And you remember all that crap. But people were into it. Now they're not so into it. Is that what you're telling me? Are you saying that the attitude on social media has changed now and people don't give a shit anymore?
Yeah, the tide is turning, and it's not even – I didn't even see those memes or those funny comments about the president and what does he start with? Does he, my fellow South Africans? People, I really think, have reached their end with this, or very close to their end.
Well, I hate to say it, but if you just listened to me, you would have been way ahead of this curve. I mean, this is where you are now. If you're pissed off with this and you don't want to hear from the president and you think it's all bullshit, that's how I was exactly a year ago. So hate to say it, but I told you so. That's going on at the moment. Then this is happening in Nigeria. Oof, just a horrible, horrible place to be. You think South Africa's bad. Nigerian officials say that gunmen have kidnapped many students from an Islamic school in Nigeria, the latest in a series of attacks on schools. Authorities in the Niger state confirmed to the BBC that gunmen had seized an unknown number of students from the school town of Tegina on Sunday. A teacher told the BBC that 150 students were missing, while other reports put the figure at 200. Now, again, you're a parent. You send your kid to school. You think, oh, well, they'll be back when school finishes this afternoon. And your kid doesn't come back. And then you either get a phone call, or you go to collect your kid, or your kid doesn't pitch up at home and you go to the school to find out what the hell's happening. And they say to you, sorry, there's been an abduction. Obviously, this is Boko Haram, though, the guys who do it. Mm. And actions carried out for ransom are increasingly common in northern Nigeria. In February, nearly 300 girls were taken by armed men from a boarding school in Jangembe, and more were later freed. But it's just an unbelievably scary situation. And, you know, we think in South Africa, you send your kids off to school And really, that's a safe place for your kids to be. You know, the teachers are charged with care and making sure that your children are safe and that they're well looked after and that they're fed and that they're educated. You don't think someone could abduct our children. And in this country, I remember when we grew up, there were like kids on milk cartons who'd been abducted because there was such a rare occurrence that they could actually put their face on a milk carton for months so that we'd all look for them. And if we saw the abductor, we'd be able to report them. So it's a rare thing.
And everyone knew about this missing person. The whole town or, you know, would know.
Not in northern Nigeria. It's fairly commonplace. So between 150 and 200 students have been abducted by this group. And they say it's either for ransom money or for the usual Boko Haram reasons, which are even more nefarious than just ransom. Ugly, ugly, ugly story. Not something you want to wake up to this Monday, but I'm not going to lie to you. And then, as if that isn't enough, in America, there had been two people killed and 20 wounded on Sunday when three shooters fired indiscriminately into a crowd outside a concert in the Miami area. Police said that the latest shooting in a year that has seen a surge in both gun sales and violence. Shots erupted near a banquet and events hall in a strip mall in Miami Gardens, which is a heavily Cuban community of working-class families. Angelica Green told reporters at the scene that her son and nephew, both 24, were among those wounded. Both were in hospital, recovering, though the nephew, hit four times, was in a very serious condition.
Yikes.
Horrible. Again, you know, crazy people and dangerous people doing crazy and dangerous things and unfortunately making life for the rest of us a little bit more difficult. And then Joe Biden, I love this. This is a guy who can barely remember where he is on any given day. He can't make a speech without screwing up. He has just said that on Sunday he's going to, that's this past Sunday, to press Russian leader Vladimir Putin to uphold human rights when they meet in Geneva next month for their first summit. He's going to push Putin. So you've got a guy who is absolutely brilliant at holding on to power and who's been in the hot seat for since we became a democracy in 1994. You've got him in Russia, and he's smart as a button, and he has managed to make all the systems work for him. He's a crook, no doubt, and he's one of the most dangerous men in the world, but he's no slouch. And then you've got, what, this octogenarian who's barely conscious, who's like got potatoes for brains, and he's going to hold Vladimir Putin's feet to the fire? Are you kidding me? Who believes that? Do you believe that?
I saw a video of President Biden over the weekend eating ice cream. And I thought, you know, that's what you should be doing. Go back to your days of sitting on benches with ice cream. That's it. And I can't believe
pudding joke.
I can't believe it became a thing.
Train. Yeah.
He was there with his ice cream cone, and no one in terms of the media was asking him pressing questions about the state of the world. Instead, they were asking him, President Biden, what ice cream flavor is that?
Oh, how awkward. Oh, no.
I mean, this is what happens when the media and the American media know that they're complicit. They're just doing what the Democratic Party of the United States tell them to do, and they're doing public relations for the Democratic Party. And it's outrageous because what they're doing is they're trying to say, don't look with your own eyes. Trust us. Here's what's going on. Joe is this brilliant, incredible, talented politician who has all the experience and he's totally, totally there. He's very much aware of what's going on around him. He's not at all senile. Don't use your own eyes. Don't use your own ears.
One journalist did try to bring up business with the president, and I can't even remember what the question was, but he then, the president turned around and went, well, my advice to them is they should eat more ice cream, and everyone laughed. And so sweet.
Don't feed Gareth with more of this fodder, please.
No, he should be picking up his kids from school and spending the afternoon with his grandkids, that's all.
You shouldn't, don't trust me. Trust your own eyes and ears when it comes to Joe Biden. And you tell me if you really think America is better off right now than they were under Donald Trump. And be objective. Be honest about it. Talk about how the economy is going so well under Joe Biden, because it isn't. Talk about how gas prices, fuel prices have gone sky high on him, because they have. Talk about how the cost of housing has gone up under him. The cost of pretty much everything has gone up. Talk about how the plan that he's claiming credit for, all those vaccinations, wasn't rolled out by his administration. It was rolled out in December last year by the Trump administration. Talk about all that stuff. And then you can tell me afterwards what a horrible person Donald Trump was and how it's a good thing he's not on Twitter anymore.
So his ice cream flavor preference, Biden's ice cream flavor preference, does that mean anything to you?
No. Okay. Anybody care?
Did you want to say it?
It was chocolate chip or something with a chip in it. I don't know.
Well, here's one last story in the news, and then we'll get to Dr. Hanan, who I know you can't wait to hear from. Seven passengers aboard a plane, including Tarzan actor Joe Lara and his guru wife, she's a diet guru, are presumed dead after it crashed in a lake near the U.S. city of Nashville, authorities said. Small business jet crashed at around 11 a.m. on Saturday, shortly after taking off from Tennessee's airport for Palm Beach, Florida. The plane went down into Percy Priest Lake, which is 12 miles south of Nashville. The Federal Aviation Administration confirmed seven people had been aboard the plane. On Saturday night, operations had switched from search and rescue to recovery, and we are no longer in an attempt to find live victims at this point, so we're now recovering as much as we can from the crash site, said Captain Joshua Saunders from the RCFR. That's the search and rescue team who were looking for the bodies. So, I mean, I don't remember this guy who played Tarzan in the 1989 TV movie Tarzan in Manhattan. He later starred in a television series, Tarzan the Epic Adventures, which ran from about 96 until 97. And his wife was a woman called Gwen Shamblin Lara, who he married in 2018. She was the leader of a Christian weight loss group called Way Down Ministries. She founded the group in 1986, and then in 99, founded the Remnant Fellowship Church in Brentwood in Tennessee. So those are two people I've never heard of before, but some news on a horrible plane accident nonetheless. So there's something you might not know. All right. Yes. Very good. It is time for us to turn our attention to what we're going to do every Monday from now on, and it's very exciting. I'm pleased to say that we've managed to find time in his very busy schedule to bring Dr. Hanan Bushkin in. It's called It's Going to Be Okay. And this morning he joins us from his practice, from where he's ready to start seeing his patients from 7 o'clock this morning. Hey, Dr. Hanan, how are you?
Hey, nice to see you. How are you?
Nice to see you, too. Lots of people were extremely happy to hear from you last week when we spoke more generally about, you know, the kinds of challenges people are having. But this week we've got a couple of very specific emails, and we'll start with one today. I'm just going to read this. This is from Nikki. Okay, so she said the following. She said, shouldn't we be taking a magnifying glass to the mental health and mental state of the world's elite? Because we see Oprah Winfrey and Prince Harry doing the series on mental health at the moment. And you've got these people who really seemingly don't have a whole lot to moan about. And I had a temper tantrum last week because I thought, you know, there are people in this world, Dr. Hanan, who are really struggling. And I saw some of them in those rural areas in the east of this country on my way back from the Kruger Park on Sunday. And I looked at these people who are carrying water in buckets and who are living off of less than R2 a day and who, you know, don't know necessarily whether they will have a warm meal, whether they'll have any meal at all today. And yet they're struggling on, and that struggle seems to give them some meaning and some purpose. And you've got these people who've got, you know, billions in the bank and are moaning about their mental health. Is there something I'm missing in this? And do you want to help Nikki and I to understand maybe why we need to, all of us, pay attention to mental health, even the people who are well off, who are happy, who shouldn't really have too much to complain about in terms of material comforts and luxuries around them? And maybe you've got some opinions on that that would be interesting to hear. So you tell me, are Nikki and I overreacting? Are we getting upset about things we shouldn't worry about?
Yes, you are overreacting. I'll tell you why. You know, I love the human mind. The human mind is incredible because it can find happiness in a 3x3 and it can find misery in a castle. It just is able to adapt to any situation. You can find somebody living with incredible luxury, and they can find the smallest thing to complain about, while somebody can find themselves without any, let's call it, luxuries and find incredible purpose in it. I heard you this morning talking about you went to the game reserve this weekend. Yeah. And how was that? I mean, what luxuries did you have there? But it was, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I'm happy to be in my own bed and bathroom, frankly, but that's because I've become spoilt and I've made my life since lockdown exactly the way that I want it to be at home. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't such a horrible thing to have to share a bathroom with four other people or three other people. It wasn't so difficult. And we had a good time. You know, we made fires and we had lots of food and we weren't in any way made uncomfortable. And it's amazing how quickly you do adapt as a human being. You know, if you had everything taken away from you, if I lost everything tomorrow, I thought about this, I think I'd be okay to start again. Whereas I'm sure that there are people who would not be okay to start again if they were in that situation.
Right. And what was meaningful to you was perhaps being in nature, being with the people that are closest to you, and that doesn't cost any money. That's why, you know, we have these basic necessities that are so powerful and so cheap, good relationships, good access to a sense of purpose and meaning. We can find purpose and meaning in any situation. Have that carrot to chase that is meaningful and that's aligned with your own identity. That is super important and that's not expensive. I can be, again, working with nothing and find incredible purpose or have, as I said, all the luxuries around me and really hate my life. You know what the key thing is that I find throughout my clinical work is that the definition of suffering is not where you are. The definition of suffering is where you are wishing you were somewhere else. So the moment I'm in Cape Town as an analogy and I wish I was in Joburg, that is suffering. The moment I'm married and wish I was single, that is suffering. The moment I'm in my job and wish I was in another job, that is suffering. The
So Hanan, what you're telling me is that many people are suffering and they're suffering unnecessarily every day because they're not where they wish they could be. Instead of being grateful for where they are.
100%. The single most significant reason why people are suffering is because they're looking to where they want to be as opposed to where they're at and making the most of it. I want to tell you something. You know, many years ago, I saw a very cool meme. It was Michael Phelps swimming against Chad Leclerc. I don't know if you've seen it. And in this picture, Michael Phelps was ahead and Chad was a little bit behind. And Michael Phelps was looking ahead and Chad was like this looking at Michael Phelps. And the tagline was genius. The tagline was winners focus on winning and losers focus on winners. And it's such an incredible analogy for life because the moment you're swimming your race and comparing your life to where you wish you were, that is when you're going to lose. You have to focus on your own goal. The moment you look at what are you doing, how's my life meaningful in comparison to you, how many followers are you having in comparison to me? How much money are you having in comparison to me? That is when you're going to feel that sense of suffering because you wish you were somewhere else.
But Hanan, for the sake of those people who are also hearing maybe some confusing signals from you here, first of all, looking ahead and imagining yourself in another place is essentially a goal. And maybe that's a positive way to look at it. So in other words, you have to want more. If you're an ambitious person and you wish to achieve some goals, how do you differentiate between that and wishing you were somewhere else because you don't enjoy your current circumstances enough?
So the aim is really to chase your own goal, not somebody else's. So the moment I'm chasing somebody that has a different skill set to me, a different temperament, a different personality, that is when I'll never feel good enough. The moment I'm chasing my own goal, a better version of myself, chasing goals is very powerful, very important, but chase a better version of yourself as opposed to chase someone else. But the key point that I want to raise is you must chase goals. As a matter of fact, we are goal chasing machines. The moment we stop chasing goals, that is when you become depressed. We have to chase goals. But in the chase, don't wish you were somewhere else. Don't wish you were somewhere else. This is where I'm at. And that's where I want to be, but this is where I'm at. Where I want to be is aligned with what I want to create as opposed to what somebody else created for me.
Now, I like that because to me it did sound like a little bit of a contradiction, but I realize now, I mean, obviously, I think many of us understand that to compare yourself with someone else is a terrible idea because you don't know what they're going through. And sometimes you see someone else and you think, wow, they look like they have it all together. They look like they've got a great life. You don't know about the pain and suffering that they've gone through to get there. You don't know about the things that they've had to do to achieve their own success or their own emotional state. You don't know what kinds of things are going through their head. And you can never know, even if they sit down and explain it to you, because we're all so different. But I do get that we could compare ourselves to better versions of ourselves. I think for many people though, they're at a stage, and perhaps this will take us back to, you know, where Nikki's question comes in. It's like Oprah or Prince Harry. You know, you see this prince complaining about his life and our shame, like he's the only person who ever lost his mom at a young age, or he's the only person who's ever left a royal family. And, you know, it's all so hard for him. And many of us just struggle to find the ability to be compassionate with someone like that. There are obviously people who do, and many of those people are in a much worse state than perhaps Prince Harry is. So can you give us some perspective in terms of the way that we see the world and the way that we acknowledge other people suffering with compassion rather than empathy, because the two are very different things?
But, you know, like we're saying, well, we look at Oprah and Prince Harry and they've got everything that they need to be happy. Who said that? Who says that they're happy? I've said earlier that happiness doesn't have to cost money. It could be a sense of purpose. How do you know Prince Harry's living out his purpose? How do you know he's got good friends that are looking after him? How do you know he's chasing his own goals and not somebody else's? How do you know he's waking up with a sense of identity and a carrot that is designed by him? You don't know that. So to say, well, he's got all the resources and therefore he shouldn't be upset, unhappy, guilty, frustrated, shameful, is, I think it's a simple way to look at what constitutes happiness. You know, in society, we give so much value and credibility to money. The moment people have financial resources, that means they can't complain and because they should be happy. But money is just, financial security is not money. Financial security is not money. I can have 100 and feel financially secure, and somebody can have 1,000 and feel financially insecure. So we got to actually just, we want to be able to, the financial security is the anchor, not the amount of money. We know many people that have a lot of money in the bank, but are unhappy. Okay, because it's not the money that makes people happy. It's ability to be able to make ends meet and live according to your own lifestyle, but that you have to adapt to.
Right or wrong, I mean, many people think that money and power and fame, the kinds of things that Oprah and Harry have, that those things will solve all their problems, and they really don't. I mean, we have many people in this country, you know, who think that if they just had a couple of million rand, all their problems would go away, and that's not true.
That's not true. It's not true. And look, we live in a society where we value money, and money gives you access to many things. But I'm telling you, from a psychological point of view, financial security, not the amount of money, is what anchors people. But money or financial security is one aspect out of eight that make you happy. What about the sense of purpose? Family, friends, a life partner, your diet, your exercise, your sleep. Having goals to chase in the morning, and as I said, goals that are aligned with your own personal identity. That money is just one of those aspects out of a whole combination that makes people happy.
I just want to bring in some of the messages that we're getting here from some of the people who are listening now. Carla says, good morning, Dr. Bushkin. It is going to be okay knowing that you'll be on the Gareth Cliff Show every Monday. So you're already making people feel good. And then Mika said this, I lived on a wine estate with incredible beauty around me, and I was so unhappy and sad, even though I knew I had no reason to feel that way. So the doc is right. And then this is an interesting point from John. John says, I just want to say to Dr. Bushkin, he's absolutely amazing. He saved my life and my marriage. I'm a new listener and viewer to this show. Gareth, you have an awesome show. Love it. So, you know, even what you're saying now is probably helping some people to get perspective on things, because so many of us struggle. We think whatever we're dealing with is the hardest thing any human has ever had to deal with. And it might not be. It might not even be close. And we think that if we just had this or that, or we were there, or we were that person, we would have none of these problems. Not so.
Not at all. I want to tell everybody that's listening that the ingredients to being happy and fulfilled a rapture and you have it within you. I know that sounds like so motivational, and that's the one thing that gives me terrible goosebumps. You know, reach for the stars. You know, not everybody can, but I'm saying you do have the ingredients to be happy and fulfilled. You can chase your own sense of purpose. And one of the things that we spoke on your show a couple of months ago, Gareth, is the real pandemic is the lack of purpose that people are having, or that people are lacking rather. People don't have those goals to chase, don't have those things that wake them up in the morning. How many people can wake up or do wake up in the morning and go, I cannot wait to chase X? Not somebody else's X, my X. And that's the real pandemic that's happened over the last year and a half. People have lost their sense of purpose. But the point is, you have all the ingredients necessary to make your life a success and happy and fulfilled with what you have. People will think it's crazy, but hold on. I don't have X and I don't have Y. Whatever that X and Y is, that is you comparing your life to somebody that does have it. And how do you know they're happy anyway? Work with what you have and make the most of it.
Well, it's always good to have you on, Dr. Hanan. And I know that Leanne and Sia have got some questions for you, but we want you to send your questions in if you want to talk to Dr. Hanan, if you want him to address something that you're concerned about. You can mail us on gareth@cliffcentral.com and we will send it straight to him, and we can deal with this again next Monday. But it's always good to have you on, and it's great to have a little bit of your time. I know how busy you are. The COVID-19 pandemic has affected everybody. Recent surveys have shown that depression, anxiety, and suicides have increased the world over since the COVID pandemic began. This disruption to daily routines and to the economy have impacted many people's lives in ways that will live way beyond the lockdowns. And that's especially relevant when you consider that the president came on last night and he's changed the rules again. For many people, this disruption is an ongoing thing, and we've got to learn to deal with it because you're not going to be able to escape it. That's part of the reason we want Dr. Hanan on as often as we can get him on. And every Monday he will be here to make sure that we know it's going to be okay. Thanks, Dr. Hanan. Nice to see you. Thanks, guys.
Nice to see you guys.
Awesome stuff. So there we go. You can be a part of this and you can email us. So tell us what your particular interest, what your particular problem might be, what you want an answer to, what you'd like some explanation for. And remember, you can be anonymous if you want to. We've had one or two people who've said they'd rather be anonymous. They don't want people to know that it's them because there might be someone listening who knows them. That's absolutely fine, too. You can tell us about it on gareth@cliffcentral.com. I'll make sure it gets to Hanan. All right. Very good. What do you think of that? Interesting point of view.
Really interesting. And, talking, it all started – the whole conversation started with, if you have money, you probably shouldn't have unhappiness or problems.
Yeah.
And that is very true. But I think there is a level where if you have absolutely nothing and you're in survival mode and you can't have a meal, that's when it's like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That's when everything crumbles and you're not even interested in your mental health at that stage. You're just fighting for the next thing. And during COVID, one of the biggest things that people have had to deal with is the loss of money and the loss of income. And that's what's driven a lot of, suicide, is that you just don't know how to adapt to that when you've always had money. There's a certain level that you need to get to of, if it's 100 rand or 1,000 rand, you kind of need to get to that level first before you can address mental health, physical health, all of that.
Well, Amir says, Dr. Hanan, you make so much sense. Derek says, I was taught that there's always someone worse off than you. And that's absolutely true. And then Corona's Boring says, look at Jay-Z. More money, more problems. Yep. So if I'd heard from Dr. Hanan before I had my temper tantrum about Prince Harry and Oprah's mewling on television, I might have had a different view. Because I think he makes a good point. Like, how the hell does it affect me? Not at all. And is it possible that they can be miserable and rich? Yes. And is it possible that they can be very happy and poor? Yes. That's exactly right. So some serious perspective from Dr. Hanan. That's also the thing that brings us to 7 o'clock. Don't forget, Collectomania is coming up in a little while. I'm excited to hear from you. And you can also, if you want to join in on the fun in Collectomania, if you collect something, let us know about it too. Gareth@cliffcentral.com.
cliffcentral.com.